Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We just sang these words. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. It's a beautiful sentiment. Does it express an accurate sentiment? A sentiment that's accurate among us. Are our hearts bound in Christian love? Do we have kindred minds? Minds that are akin, that are one, that are united. I ask this simply because we are constantly making evaluations and comparisons. Now, this is not necessarily a bad thing. For instance, when a baby is born, right away, an evaluation is done. It's called an Apgar test. The baby is evaluated to see whether or not medical intervention is needed for that child. Well, this is obviously a good thing to do. But our comparisons and evaluations do not always come from good intentions, nor are they always intended to bring about good things. Often, our comparisons and evaluations are done to exalt one person. Normally, that is self, over another. And they end up then dividing. This is, it seems, what lay behind that seemingly innocent question the disciples asked of Jesus: who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because he was blunt with his answer. Jesus called a child, probably a very young child, a toddler, to come to him, and he sat that child before his disciples and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Their jaws must have dropped in amazement. A little child? The greatest? How could this be? Right now, down in Atlanta, there's a golf tournament going on. It is the Tour Championship. The top 30 professional golfers, the best golfers in the world, are the only ones there playing. It's kind of like the Super Bowl for golf. Imagine being there, and then brought out before everyone as an illustration of the golfer with the greatest swing. Not one of those 30. Not Tiger Woods. But Charles Barkley. Barkley is like that when he swings. That's how astounding. When Jesus brings a very young child before all the people, and especially his disciples. Children in that day were not held up as examples to emulate. And especially the very young, never as an example of greatness. I mean, greatness? A little child hasn't done anything great yet, and really can't. Little children, I mean, first of all, they are small, weak, susceptible to sicknesses. They have to grow bigger and stronger, first of all. And then, they don't clearly know right from wrong, aren't able yet to know and choose what is good versus what is bad, even harmful. They were utterly dependent on their parents for everything. Now, of course, for those Jewish people in particular, they loved their children, but they didn't hold them up as examples. They looked for what they would become, their potential, what they would become after years of education and experience and training. How shocking to them when Jesus calls this little child the greatest in the kingdom of heaven and says, unless you become like this child, you will never enter the kingdom. It was utterly contrary to how they thought, to how we still think. Jesus, he was not only forbidding for his people comparisons and evaluations among ourselves. Frankly, he was making God sound like a tyrant, because he rejects all greatness. To enter God's kingdom, if you have to become like a little child who has nothing to offer except utter independence, this means all that you have done, all that you are, is rejected, is worthless. Well, God is not a tyrant, but he does see clearly. The problem is not with God. It is with us. We don't truly love God selflessly or trust him, not even the best of us, like Jesus' 12 disciples. They were the best. I mean, they were with him day after day. He chose them. They saw his great love, his great power to heal, to help, to save. When they had little food to provide for crowds, Jesus took what they had and blessed it. And there was an abundance, more than enough for everyone. When they were with him in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm suddenly arose and they were threatened, he calmed the storm, stopped it with just a word. They knew better than any one of us could ever know that with him, they had every blessing of God. And yet they still compared themselves with others. Evaluation is still a worry, still in their hearts, and they wondered, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Don't think that you are any better. Not one of us is. Not one of us truly and selflessly loves God and trusts Him above all things. We also look critically upon others, even one another. We are quick to see and make note of people's failures. We don't really do one single thing as Jesus did. Utterly selflessly, only because it is the will of and honors our good God and helps other people. Evaluate. Compare. Worry about status. Give into these things. Your heart, it will not only not be bound to others, it will not be bound to God. Our only hope of being bound to God, of having His love and His blessing and not worrying about it, is to be children, to be utterly dependent and happily dependent, trusting not in anything that we do, but trusting solely in God because He is our good Father in Christ. A God who is good. This is who you have in Jesus. A God who loves you completely and endlessly. Who loves you before you could do anything for Him. Whose love indeed brought you forth. His love isn't dependent upon what you do. He is a God who, although He well knows your sins, not one of them can be hidden from Him, yet doesn't desire to cut you off, not even your hand or your foot. Instead, He takes the responsibility for your sins upon Himself. He cuts Himself off for your sake. Jesus is the one who has done so. His death on the cross, bearing your sins, is your complete forgiveness of every sin. You don't ever have to think you have anything to make up for. It is done. Christ has done it. And our God in Jesus is a loving Father. A Father who, like a good parent, now works throughout our lives to teach and to guide His children so that we might not only know what is good, but might also desire it. He, with His good word, guides us in all of our ways. And beyond what we as parents can do, God also fills us with His Holy Spirit. By His word, fills you with His Spirit. Even before you can hear that word and understand it, in your baptism, for most of us as an infant, fills us with His Holy Spirit. So that His good desires might be ours. Utter dependence upon this God. A dependence that listens to His word. And no matter what it says, this is good, this I will follow, and not my own thoughts and desires. This utter dependence, the dependence of a child, it is truly great. because it acknowledges him to be truly great. So be such a child, utterly dependent upon your Lord. And as you are, know he is going to bring forth great things from you. In fact, he is going to make you to be like himself. He directs those who, like children, are weak and needy, who, even because of their need, cause problems. Our Lord, in fact, directs us to those who are weak and needy, because that's exactly where Christ is. Do you utterly trust in your God? Then, show this when, for instance, you are sinned against. And who is not sinned against? Show it by not sitting there and stewing and letting it eat away at you, by not thinking about how you're going to get back at that person, by hoping bad things will happen. Instead, seek to be reconciled. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, you go and show him his fault. Between you and him alone, that will protect your brother. And if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. It's difficult work, but you can do this when you know that your God is with you. And no matter what, will take care of you. And he will help you to not worry about greatness, but be content to take the lower place. In fact, the lower place in Christ is not a low place at all. Jesus says, whoever receives one such child, one who is needy, one who is utterly dependent, even one who sins, whoever receives one such child receives me. And so you're dealing with Jesus when you are showing mercy to others. You're in the company of their angels, who, Jesus says, are always looking upon the face of their Father who is in heaven. The low place Jesus exalts is the place of his cross, the place where he himself is. And so he will exalt those who are in that place. He will make them vessels of his mercy. And the day will come when we'll no longer need to worry about low places, when there will be no such need, when, as the last verse of our hymn says, from sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. Until that day, humble yourself. Be a needy child of your Lord Jesus. He will take care of you. He will make you glad to do his work. In the blessed name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. God's peace, it passes all understanding. Keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.